Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Sergei Rachmaninoff and the Impossible Chord. Look at your hands. Go on, hold them up. Spread your fingers as wide as they can go. What can your hands do? Catch a ball? Tie your shoes? Hold a pencil and draw a dragon? Now listen to this music. What kind of hands do you think made that sound? Hands that can make the piano growl like a hungry bear, or whisper like a secret told in the dark. Tonight we're meeting a man whose hands were so big, people thought they were impossible. And the music he wrote for those hands? Some of it was so difficult, so stretchy, that other pianists threw up their arms and cried, "No one can play this!" But Sergei could. Sergei Rachmaninoff could stretch his left hand across 12 white piano keys at once. Do you know how big that is? Find a ruler. 12 inches. A whole foot of piano. Most grown-up pianists can only reach 8 or 9 keys. Some very stretchy ones can reach 10. But 12? That's like being able to touch your ceiling while your feet stay on the floor. And here's something magical about those hands. They could go from the softest whisper to the loudest thunder in a single heartbeat. In music, we have special Italian words for this. When music is soft and gentle, we call it piano. Yes, just like the instrument. And when music is big and powerful, we call it forte. Rachmaninoff was a master of going from piano all the way to forte and back again. His music breathes. It swells like the ocean and then pulls back like the tide. Sergei Vasilyevich Rachmaninoff was born in Russia in 1873, over 150 years ago, into a family that loved music. His grandfather played piano, his mother played piano. Music filled their home like the smell of baking bread fills a kitchen. Little Sergei started lessons when he was just 4 years old, and right away his teachers noticed something unusual. His hands. Even as a small boy, his hands were big. Bigger than other children's, bigger than some adults. And they grew and grew and grew. By the time Sergei was a teenager at the Moscow Conservatory, that's a very serious school for musicians, he was already becoming famous. This tall, serious young man with the enormous hands who played the piano like it was part of his own body. At the conservatory, Sergei met another composer, a man named Tchaikovsky, who wrote the music for the Nutcracker Ballet. Tchaikovsky saw something special in the quiet, long-fingered boy. "Watch this one," he told people. "Great things are coming." And great things did come. Sergei graduated with the highest honors. He wrote his first piano concerto. People clapped and cheered. By his early 20s, everyone believed Sergei Rachmaninoff would become the greatest composer Russia had ever known. In 1897, when Sergei was 24 years old, he finished writing his first symphony. A huge piece of music for a whole orchestra. This was his moment, his chance to prove he was a true composer, not just a pianist with big hands. The night of the premiere arrived. The concert hall was packed. Sergei sat in the audience, his enormous hands gripping the armrests. But something was wrong. The conductor, that's the person whose job is to keep the whole orchestra together, wasn't paying attention. He waved his baton like he was swatting flies instead of shaping music. The violins rushed ahead too fast. The trumpets stumbled in too slow. The music that had sounded so beautiful in Sergei's head came out muddy and wrong. It didn't soar, it crashed. And the next morning, the newspaper critics were brutal. "Rachmaninoff's symphony," one wrote, "would please the inhabitants of hell." Those cruel words broke something inside Sergei. He stopped composing. Not just for a week. Not just for a month. For 3 whole years, the music inside him went silent. He would sit at the piano, his giant hands hovering over the keys, waiting, listening for the melodies that used to fill his head. But nothing came. The piano stayed silent. The giant was awake, but his music had fallen into a deep, deep sleep. Have you ever had a time when you couldn't do something you used to love? When the words wouldn't come, or the drawing didn't look right, or the games stopped being fun? Imagine that feeling lasting 3 years. Sergei needed help, and he was brave enough to ask for it. Dr. Nikolai Dahl was not a regular doctor. He didn't give people medicine or put bandages on cuts. Instead, he helped people by talking to them and by something called hypnosis. Hypnosis is a way of deeply relaxing someone's mind. Like the moment just before you fall asleep, when everything feels soft and far away, and your thoughts turn into dreams. Every single day, Sergei would visit Dr. Dahl. He would sit in a comfortable chair. He would close his eyes. And Dr. Dahl would speak to him, slowly and calmly. "You will begin to write your concerto. You will work with great ease. The concerto will be of excellent quality." Over and over, day after day, like planting tiny seeds in dark soil and waiting patiently for something green to push through. And slowly, very, very slowly, something began to stir. Now, Dr. Dahl told Sergei to write a concerto. But what is a concerto? Think of it like a story where the piano is the main character, the hero, and the orchestra? The orchestra is the rest of the world. Sometimes the piano is a lonely traveller, walking through a dark forest, while the cellos hum and murmur around it. Sometimes the piano is a hero, arguing with a giant, the giant brass section with its trumpets and trombones. Back and forth they go. The piano sings and the strings answer. The flutes ask a question, and the piano responds with a waterfall of notes. A concerto is a grand adventure where one instrument, sitting there all alone at the front of the stage, proves it can be just as powerful as 80 musicians playing together. And what Sergei was about to write would become one of the most famous piano concertos the world has ever known. On October 27th, 1901, Sergei Rachmaninoff walked onto a stage in Moscow. His hands, those famous, enormous hands, were trembling. 4 years had passed since his terrible failure. 4 years since the critics said his music belonged in hell. He sat at the piano. He looked at the conductor. He took a deep breath. And then those giant hands came down on the keys. The piano concerto number 2 began, and it was magnificent. All that sadness, all that silence, all that fear. It had transformed into music so beautiful that people in the audience began to cry. When the last note faded away, the hall exploded with cheering. Sergei stood up, tears in his own eyes. He had done it. And he dedicated his masterpiece to Dr. Nikolai Dahl, the man who helped him find his voice again. Sergei's music never stopped flowing. He wrote symphonies so beautiful they made people cry happy tears. He wrote preludes that pianists still struggle to play because, well, they were written for giants' hands. And his music always sounded Russian. If you listen carefully, you can almost smell pine forests dusted with snow. You can hear church bells echoing across frozen rivers. You can feel the bigness of that vast, cold, beautiful country. Years later, when Sergei was in his 60s, he wrote something playful, a piece that showed his imagination was more alive than ever. He took a simple little tune written by an old violinist named Paganini, and he asked himself a question. What if I dressed this melody in 24 different costumes? He called it the Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini. It has 24 variations. That means he takes the same tune and transforms it again and again. Sometimes it's fast and flashy. Sometimes it's dark and mysterious. But the 18th variation, that's the one everyone remembers. Listen for how he turns Paganini's bouncy tune completely upside down. What was playful becomes sweeping. What was quick becomes slow and achingly, heart-meltingly beautiful. This is what a healed imagination can do. Take something simple and turn it into pure magic. Thank you. Sergei Rachmaninoff had to leave Russia when a revolution changed his country forever. He moved to America, far from the pine forests and church bells he loved. But he brought his music with him. He performed in concert halls across the world, his giant hands still thundering and whispering, still going from piano to forte in a single breath, still making audiences gasp and cry. He died in 1943, just days before his 70th birthday. But here's what I want you to remember as you drift off to sleep tonight. Sergei Rachmaninoff had a gift, those extraordinary, impossible hands. But the gift alone wasn't what made him great. What made him great was that when he fell down, when he failed, when he felt like he could never create again, he was brave enough to ask for help, and he kept going. So tonight, as you close your eyes, look at your own hands one more time. Maybe they're small, maybe they're big, maybe they're just right. It doesn't matter. What matters is what you do with them. The music you make, whether it's on a piano or a drum or just tapping rhythms on your pillow. The help you give, the things you create, even when it's hard. And if you ever feel stuck, if your music ever goes quiet, remember the impossible chord. Remember that even giants need a little help sometimes. Good night, and sweet musical dreams.